All right, you ready to study the Word today? Oh, y'all gonna have to wake up. All right, good. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. And you can tell already we're going digging deep into the deep blue of the Old Testament. I'm gonna do some teaching today, if that's okay with you. Now, you know, and I've told you before that there's preaching, teaching sermons, and then there's teaching, preaching sermons. And you know the difference, right? So you know there's some preaching with a little bit of teaching in there, but then there's some teaching with a little bit of preaching in there. So this is going to be a heavy teaching message. I'm going to start a series on tithing. And I've only done a few sermons on tithing over the years. Pastors generally, if you poll them, pastors would say they don't really like to preach on tithing all that much because people don't like to hear on tithing all that much. It doesn't bother me, and I don't shy away from it because tithing is in God's Word, and we're going to divide God's Word. That's what we're going to do. But tithing, particularly people don't like it because it generally has to deal with money. And when you start suggesting to people what they should do with their money, then it can get personal really fast. I'm aware. In my opinion, though, Satan has turned the word tithe into a dirty word among the modern seeker-sensitive church. And people then start to get suspicious when a pastor starts preaching on tithing. But I'm going to tell you, I don't have a big ask after this. I don't have a big ask after this series. Here's how I'd like to approach the series, though. I want to show you in the Bible God's principle of the tithe, and then I want to let the Holy Spirit do His work. Okay, so that's and just lead you from there, because the tithe is biblical. It's seen all throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament, and Jesus even taught on tithing. And I'm going to say something strong here, but I want you to follow me. The tithe is not just a priority issue. It is a spiritual issue. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The tithe is not just a priority issue. It is a spiritual issue, the tithe is. And because it's driven by principle, and it's called the principle of firsts. That's what it's called, the principle of firsts. The principle of firsts, though, is about more than just money. The principle of first is a lifestyle standard and a way and an order of thinking God's way, the principle of firsts. You've heard of the saying, the gold standard. This is the, if it may be in hospitality or you've there's been a product or something and you say, this is the gold standard. This is the standard by which everybody else goes to. Well, the principle of first is God's gold standard. It is God's standard in this area. But if there's any question for you at all, once you understand the principle of firsts, once we understand and lay that foundation, I guarantee that it will change the way you think about the tithe. I believe that. We're going to begin reading in Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Would you please stand in honor of reading God's word? Let me find it here. Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to begin in verse 1, and then we'll go through verse 1 and 2, and then 11 through 15. Before we do, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we read together. So, Lord, we're opening up your word now, and we've sung to you, we've praised you, we've worshiped you. And I pray that you've been honored and we've entered into your presence. And I've sensed your presence here today. And I'm grateful. Holy Spirit, as we've already sung, you are welcome here. And you're welcome to say and do as you wish. And I humble myself before you and I ask that you fill me to overflowing to deliver this message to your people. Speak to us in this area. Speak to us today. Reveal truth and let it change us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's begin reading Exodus 13. We're going to start verse 1 and verse 2, and then we'll jump to verse 11 through 15. Here we go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me." Okay, so God's making this declaration. Now skip over to verse 11. "This is what you must do when the Lord fulfills the promise that he swore to you and to your ancestors. When he gives you the land where the Canaanites now live, you must present all the firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to him. A firstborn donkey may be bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. And in the future, your children will ask you, 'What does all of this mean?' And then you will tell them, 'With the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, so the Lord killed all the firstborn males throughout the land of Egypt, both people and animals. And that is why I now sacrifice all the firstborn males to the Lord, except that the firstborn sons are always bought back.'" God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Now, the first thing I want to remind you of in reading this passage, here's the first thing. And I want you to note this about everything you'll ever read in the Old Testament. I want to remind you, Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, always, always, always points to the person of Christ and redemption of mankind on the cross. Did you know that?
Yes.
So as we were reading that passage there points to the person of Christ and redemption of mankind on the cross. Now, once you get that principle, see, then you can be reading. See, once I understood that the old, see, you can't separate Old and New Testament. You cannot do it, okay? So once you understand everything is pointing to the person of Christ and the cross, you can be reading then a story in the Old Testament and then it just kind of pop out at, oh, I get it. That's about Jesus. Oh, I get it. That's about redemption. And you can have some hallelujah times reading through Leviticus, you know, when you're drudging through that book. When you're reading through Exodus, when you're reading through Numbers, when you're reading there, there's a reason for it. There's a purpose. Always the purpose underlining. If you'll just think, if you'll be like, "Holy Spirit, I know this has something to do with Jesus and redemption. What do you want to teach me?" And see what he teaches you there. But I just want you to remember that. 1 Corinthians 10:11 also says this. It says that the things in the Old Testament were written as an example to us on how we're to live our lives now. Okay? So if not enough of what I said, then in the New Testament it's saying, don't forget what we're saying in the Old Testament because it is an example to us today. That still applies today. Now, the principle of first is about giving the first to God. That's what the principle is. Okay? So the first thing about this principle is, or the first thing about this God standard is, and if you're taking notes, here's point number one. The first thing is, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. First off, God is saying to them, we read this, God is saying to them, "You're going to give me an offering. I'm going to require an offering of you. I'm going to require a tithe of you. You're going to dedicate an offering to me." But then he says, "I have conditions for that offering. I've got my conditions." In other words, not anything goes when it comes to giving an offering to the Lord. That's what he's telling them. You can't just do it how you want to. All right, now, I want to explain to you the difference between sacrificed and redeemed. All right, let's just talk about that for a minute. If you had an animal and your animal was the firstborn animal of your season, okay, And it was the right type of animal, had to be the right type. And it didn't have any spots or blemishes on it. So it was the firstborn, right type, no blemishes, no spots. That animal that was considered clean, okay? And then you could sacrifice that animal. That was the one you could sacrifice. Now, if you're like me, if you have the Morris factor in your life, your firstborn animal is probably not going to be clean. It's going to be, something's going to be with it. But if your firstborn animal would be probably like my firstborn animal, it would be considered unclean. And then you would have, what you'd have to do then is you would have to sacrifice a clean animal to redeem the unclean animal. You following me? Okay. So if it's unclean, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of the clean. And if it's clean, then it just has to be sacrificed. All right? Now, let me boil this down. All right, I'm going to boil it down even more. The clean has to be sacrificed. The unclean has to be redeemed. Exodus 13:13. Go back to verse 13. It says, a firstborn donkey. A donkey was considered clean or unclean? It's unclean. Okay? A donkey's unclean. May be bought back, those two words, bought back, may be redeemed from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. That's what I'm talking about. All right, everybody follow me? Okay. Now, with this thought that everything in Scripture refers to Jesus and is an example for us today, let me ask you a question. Okay. I'm having fun. Let me ask you a question. Were you born clean or unclean? Good answer. Unclean. We were all born into sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all born into the sin condition. We're all born unclean. Now here's the next question. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? He was clean. He was the only one ever born clean. Hebrews 10:5 says this. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you didn't want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you gave me a body to offer. You gave me a body to offer. See, Jesus, so God gave Jesus as a clean offering to be sacrificed on the cross so that you and I could be redeemed. That's good news. That's good news. Now, here's another way you could say it. Here's another way you could say it. Jesus was God's tithe offering back to himself. Jesus was God's tithe offering to himself. See, it's a principle because it is the heart of God. That's why it's a principle. It's in God's nature. But here's the deal, and this is important, and many don't get this, and the connection that it has with the tithe. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All right, now we've heard that plenty of other times. But I just want you to follow this, and we're going to talk about it. I'm going to touch on it here, and I'm going to talk about it a little later. God gave Jesus out of love for you and I in hope and in faith that we would give our lives to him. And while we were still sinners, see, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Okay? In other words, God didn't wait to see if we would get right with him, with God, and then give us Jesus a way to salvation. You follow me so far? He didn't wait for that. He gave the offering first. He gave Jesus first. And anyone who believes in Jesus is redeemed, and Scripture says that they're blessed. I want to show you. Ephesians 1:3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. plain and black and white right there. Because we are united with Christ, we've been redeemed by Christ, we are, according to God, we are blessed with every blessing in the heavenlies. Because the tithe of Jesus was given, the rest is redeemed and blessed. John 3:16 says this. It's a great picture. You know it. For God so loved the world. He loved you so much that he gave. He gave his one and only spotless son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting, abundant, quality life in him. See, God offered not just his firstborn son, but his only son, so that the rest could be redeemed. Isn't that great? Now, that's the God standard. That's the God standard. That's the principle of first. That's God's principle of first. And it applies to everything in our lives, every single thing in our lives. Okay? So the firstborn must be redeemed or sacrificed. Okay? That's the first principle of that, first part of that principle. Here's number two. The first fruits must be offered. I know I'm teaching. Y'all okay with that? Okay, good, because I'm having fun. The first fruits must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. Now, I want you to look at Exodus 23. I'm going to flip over to 23, verse 19. Okay, it's also going to be on your screen. Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. He says this, as you harvest your crops, okay, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. All right, now I want to show you another passage. You don't have to flip there, but it'll be on the screen. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with, what's the two words? With, you don't have it. First fruits, right. Okay. Well, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. And then verse 10 is, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay, do you see that? All right, now, he says, you bring the first fruits so that, see, this is a sequence in this statement. You give the first fruits so that everything in your barn will be blessed. You see it? Okay. Now I want you to think about this. When you give the first fruits to the Lord, when you give your first fruits first, that takes faith. Okay? Now the Lord didn't say, wait until the animal that you have, wait until it has 10 offspring, and then give me one of them. That's not what he says. He said, you give me the first one, and the rest will be blessed. See, the mistake is that we make is that we think the tithe only means giving 10%. Okay, and that's what tithe, that's what the word means. The word tithe simply means tenth. And we mistakenly think that it just means 10%, and that's only partially true. It is giving 10%. That is the tithe that he's talking about. But what it is it's giving the first 10%. It's giving the first 10%. Why? Because it takes faith to give the first 10%. That's why. And you remember the scripture that says, the righteous shall live by, what's the word? Faith. Shall, not should, shall. That means that there's going to be some Holy Spirit leading in the shall. You following me? If you're following the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you to abide by this principle. Now, it takes faith to give God the first 10% and then pay the bills. I know it takes faith to do that. I know. Not pay the bills, put into savings, and then see what you have left over to give to God. Now, I want you to hear me. This is not about controlling what you do with your money. It's not about that. See, God does not need your money. Do you know why that God doesn't need your money? Because it's His money. It's not your money. He doesn't need your money. You're just a steward of His money, by the way, lest you forget. See, here's what God wants. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Where your heart is, you know. In our economy, though, we know that money, actual money, is the fruit of our labor. It is. It's what we need to buy food. It's what we need to live. It's what we need to pay our bills. It's what we need for status and class. Let's just be honest. It's what we need. It's what we need to survive and live in this world. But the point is, it's not about your money. The point is God is saying, I'm first and I will always be first. That's what He's saying here in this principle. I'm first, I will always be first. And here is something that you might not have thought about before with this, but God is first whether you put Him first or not. And if He's not first with you, then He's going to start meddling in the things that you have put first in front of Him so that He becomes first. Warning. Because He loves you. And He knows He's best for you. And if you've got something else in front of Him, He's going to start messing that up. Now, there's an attribute of God that speaks to this quality. And it's called the preeminence of God. Write that down. The preeminence of God. Okay? In the principle of first, it comes from a characteristic. The preeminence of God. Preeminence simply means this. It means I'm above all, I'm before all, I am higher than all, and I am first of all. That's what preeminence means. God is always first, and here's the deal, He cannot not be first. You hear what I said? God cannot not be first. All right, now let me give you an example. When they came into the promised land, and He even talked about it here in the passage, when they came to were conquering the promised land, they crossed over the Jordan River, okay? What was the first city that they came to? Do you remember? The first city when they crossed over. What was it? I heard it. Jericho. Okay, Jericho was the first city. Everybody say Jericho. Jericho. Okay, lock that in. First city, Jericho. Now, when they went to conquer the land, what did God say to them? He said, you give me all of the gold and silver from Jericho. You give me all of it. I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to give me all. Now, when you understand the principle of firsts, when you understand that, you'll understand why He told them that. Because God said, I'm going to give you this land. Jericho was the first city that they were to conquer. You starting to unravel this thread here? Okay. That was the first city to conquer. Now, it would have been nice, I thought, if He would have just said, you taken the spoils of Jericho, if they could have taken that and that they could have used that for their arsenal because there were some more cities to conquer before they conquered the whole land. There were some more cities to take over. It would have been nice if they had done that so they could fund their other battles and take them down. That'd have been great. But God said, you give me all of the gold and silver, not just a portion of it. You give me all. And then what did He say? He said, then you can have 100% of everything else from the other cities that I give you. You give me everything from Jericho. You can have everything else from everything else in the land. Why? Because Jericho was the first city. And it was the first fruits of the promised land. That's why. See, He didn't say, conquer the land and give me 10% of one of them. That's not what He said. He says, you give me the first fruits first in faith. You give it to me in faith. You give it to me, and then the rest is yours, and I will bless what you do. Now, I want to show you another example. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? Yes, okay. Genesis 4, 2 through 4 says this, and I'll give you a chance. Oh, it's up there on the screen. Okay, Genesis 4, 2 through 4. Look at this. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a rancher, okay? While Cain was a tiller of the soil. What was he? He was a farmer. Okay. So, look at this. Look at the wording of this, by the way. Verse 3. So in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Good, Cain. You brought an offering. While, in contrast, Abel brought the best portions of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but he had no regard for Cain and his offering. So Cain, he presented an offering. He did. He presented an offering. But it wasn't the first, and it wasn't the best. Abel brought the first and the best. Cain gave an offering, but he did it on his terms. He did it with his priorities. He did it his way. And God says, I can't accept that. I can't accept that. And I won't accept it. It's because, the question is, why would God say that? Why would he say that? Why can't God just be happy that we give a tithe no matter when or how it is? Well, we're giving. I'm giving, God. Why can't you be happy with that? Well, give me a little grace here. I'm doing the best I can here. I'm going to tell you again, here's why. It's because of his preeminence. It's because of his character and his nature. Again, the preeminence of God means he's above all, he's before all, he's higher than all, he's first of all. So God, if that is his character and his nature, he cannot accept an offering to him that is not above all, before all, higher than all, and first of all. It is not in his nature to do so. Now you can see this principle of first applies to more than just the tithe in our lives. Can't you see that? Can you see how it applies to more than just money? See, it's a principle that applies to every part of our life. Now, here's the caveat. We can give to God any time that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Yes, he says, give. But if we don't give God the first fruits, I'm going to be honest, we're ignoring a biblical principle and we're rebelling against his character and nature. And we don't think that way often. Now, so the first fruits must be offered. Here's number three. The tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. I want you to flip over to Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27:30. You got quiet on me. Leviticus 27:30. It says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Okay? So I just want to show you the language consistency that's throughout Scripture. The firstborn is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. Okay? Now, here's something that people say, and when they say it, it makes me cringe just a little. And the first, I'll just be honest, the first thing I think is that there's a little bit of spiritual immaturity here. But people will say, well, tithing is under the law, and I'm not under the law as a Christian, and so I'm under grace, so therefore I don't have to tithe. Okay? Now, there are a few things about that statement that I just want to point out. Do you know then, and we just read, the principle of tithe and the first fruits was before the law was even written. Do you recognize that? We read about Cain and Abel. That was before the law. When Jacob tithed, that was about 400 years before the law was written. When Abraham tithed, it was about between 400 and 500 years before the law was written. This is a principle because it's the heart of God. It's who he is. Now, I want you to fast forward. And in the New Testament, Jesus was talking to the religious, the Pharisees and the leaders of the law. And he says this in Matthew 23:23. He says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of the religious law and you Pharisees?" And he calls them hypocrites. "You're hypocrites." He said that a lot. "For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens." They did that. "But you ignore the most important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." Now, I underlined that word faith and it jumped out at me because we understand that it takes faith to give God our 10%. So that said something to me about the motive in which he was saying to them about how they were giving. Did you pick up on that? Okay. But then Jesus makes this statement to them. He says, "You should tithe." Now, that's enough for me. That's enough for me right there. But he says, "You should tithe." Yes, it's true, you should. But don't neglect the more important things. All right, now what can we pull from this? See, clearly Jesus himself is saying, you should tithe. It's there. But then he's saying, this is not a religious checkbox for you. You see how he's underscoring the principle? This is not a religious checkbox for you. You have to be living by the right motive to back it up. It's got to have the right motive behind it. But when people make this argument, well, tithing was under the law, and I'm not under the law, so that I don't have to tithe, okay? See, here's what I believe. I believe that that's a deception from Satan. I really do, because it's got a little bit of the truth that's a little bit believable, but it's not true at all, okay? It is true that we're no longer to live under the law, okay? That's true. But the law in and of itself is not bad. The law is good. Yes or no? Yes, because it's God's standard of living. The problem with the law is not the law, but it's that we could never live up to the law. We could not live up to it, and because we can never measure up to God's standard, we need grace. We need grace. That's why Jesus came. But the law, God's law, is good. I want to ask you something. If something was good under the law, is it bad now? No. Think about it. Honor your father and your mother. That's under the law. Is that bad now? No. It says you shall not murder. That's in the law. Is it bad now that you shouldn't murder? No, you shouldn't murder. Okay. So because I'm under grace now does not mean that the law does not apply to me. That's silly. As a matter of fact, though, and I want you to follow me carefully, Jesus said the righteousness of grace exceeds the righteousness of the law. I want you to look. Matthew 5:17 says this. He says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophet." I'm not doing away with them. It's the heart of God. "No, I came to accomplish their purpose by grace through you," by the way. Okay? "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear." Has that happened yet? Nope. "Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved." So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's strong. "But anyone who obeys God's laws and teach them will be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." You understand what he's saying? And then he says this, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But this is Jesus, who's full of grace, by the way. This is grace talking. He says, "I say, even if you're angry with someone, you're subject to judgment." All right, so the law says don't murder, okay? Jesus says, if you're angry with someone, you're under the same judgment. And that's grace talking, okay? Now, a little bit further, he says this. You've heard that the law says you shouldn't commit adultery. We get that. But then Jesus says, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Do you see how grace, its righteousness exceeds that of the law? You understand what I'm saying here? Okay? My point is that we still, even though we're under grace, we still have live under the principles, the heart of God. It's the same way with the principle of first as it pertains to the tithe. The tithe needs to be the first fruits, the first. Now, let me give you a practical example. All right. Suppose you sell something on Facebook Marketplace. How many of you ever sold something on Facebook Marketplace? Don't be shy. Yes. Okay. Okay, good. Suppose you sell something for $1,000, okay? And someone then says, I want that, or they ask you, is it still available? And you're like, yes, and then you meet, and they come. And then they hand you 10 $100 bills. Okay, just say they hand you 10 $100 bills. How much is the tithe for that $1,000? $100. Okay. So you've got 10 $100 bills. Which one is the tithe? It's the first one that leaves your hand. It's the first one that you spend. In other words, if you go and buy something off Amazon, and then you do a grocery pickup from Kroger, and then you go out to eat, and then you give the rest as the tithe, and you go, God, here's your part. I've got your part right here. That's not tithing according to Scripture. Even though it's 10%, it's not tithing according to God's principle. You following me? Because listen, what pleases God in the tithe and releases the favor of God is not the amount. It's the faith. It's putting God above all, before all, higher than all, and first of all. And Exodus says, when you give the first to God, the rest is blessed. And they are redeemed. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you see the relationship factor behind that? Malachi 3:10 says this. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse. Now, I just want to note, He doesn't say give, he says bring. Because it's not yours to give, it's yours to bring. It's yours, steward, to bring it. You bring what belongs to him. So he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. I can't be any plainer than that. This is the only time in Scripture where God says, test me in this. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, see if I'm trustworthy in this issue of bringing the tithe into my storehouse, and you'll be blessed. You just test me in this. Now, I want to dig just an inch deeper here. What's the one thing? He says, trust me in this. Now, what's the one thing that has to be present between two people before you can build a relationship? Trust. And what is God after most of all? Your heart. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And God is saying, he's saying, trust me. Try me in this. Let me show you that I love you and want to be in relationship with you. And I have your best interest at heart. And when you put your faith, when we put our faith in God in all things, in all, not some things, but in all things, including the first fruits of our labor, you will, according to Scripture, be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. Because, here's why. Because you will be pleasing the Lord. You will be pleasing Him. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I know. Some of us have struggled with the tithe. Some of us have struggled. Then maybe there are some of you who didn't understand the principle of firsts. Or maybe you've believed a lie about the tithe. Maybe it's because I'm not under the law, so I don't have to tithe. Maybe you've been there. I don't know. Or maybe you've just had a bad taste in your mouth about the tithe, and you've been closed to it because maybe you've been poorly taught. But the thing that I want you to go away with today, what I want you to know, is that God has a standard. He has a standard. And His standard is that He is first. He is first. And the principle of first is putting God first in your life, in every area. It's not just supporting the church financially. It's not. It's declaring God's preeminence in your life. It's declaring His preeminence. He is first of all, before all, highest of all. And because that's who He is, see, when we declare, I'm going to live my life by the principle of first, see, what you're doing is you're coming into agreement with God. And when you come into agreement with God, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. That's just the way He is.